This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Open for Business is powered by BossBolay.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Open for Business. Have.live is a platform that rewards steps to fitness, an app that can be found on the Google Play Store. The founder, Abdul Paravengal, is here with us today to share some light on how steps count in the overall well-being of Malaysians. A member of the current cycle for Scale Up Malaysia, we understand the motivations behind a fitness startup and the challenges that they wish to resolve in our community. Before we get into Have.live, good morning, Abdul.
Good morning.
Okay, I know you're now based in Indonesia, but tell me a little bit about yourself, your background, and I guess leading up to how you started Have.live.
Right. So I've been working for the last 11 years across Middle East, India, and Southeast Asia, worked with three unicorns, which include Oyo, a French unicorn in the photography space called Miro, and a logistics unicorn called Delivery. Right. Recently, I used to be the CFO and CB of Shipper. It's a $500 million valued startup based out of Indonesia. And I kind of realized 12 years back when I was in university, I was a national level long distance athlete. But 2 years back, I went on from 70 kilos to 96 and was talking to a few friends and realized I was still better off. The others had already seen early signs of high BP and low cholesterol. Mm-hmm. We kind of realized this wasn't great. And that's when we started making fun of each other, saying, have a life, guys. I mean, this is not what it is about.
Right.
That's how Have Life came about. However, we also realized that intense models like, a personal trainer, gym wasn't the best thing to do. It had to be something much more basic, especially for the lazy folks like me, right? Yeah. And that's the time we realized that there were similar models in the US and Europe that we wanted to replicate and tweak it for the Asian markets.
Right. Okay. So at least your background is in startups, but very different, logistics, photography, and all that. And then you started this. Okay. So when I'm just gonna say, okay, how is it different? I mean, we know about the 10,000 steps, right? So what is so different about Have.life?
The first thing is that it rewards you as a user. I mean, you don't waste your steps, right? I mean, it's exactly like how the sunlight is utilized for solar energy, right? I mean, you do get sunlight, but how much do you capture it? So why shouldn't you get value out of your steps in the first place?
Right.
So that's the first thing. The second is when we build this product, we were very clear that we do not want to be just a step tracker that rewards. Today, we do that. But the larger goal is to become a super app for health, wellness, and fitness, where we only control the demand and not the supply. So if you see some of the basic things that are wrong in this parts of the world or even in India is if you needed blood of O positive or B positive, the only thing that you have is go to Facebook or a WhatsApp
right. And
kind of post it. If you needed emergency ambulance service, you don't have a 911 like sort of a solid service. So the way we look at it is if we are able to penetrate deep into every city, why should we not work with city governments and have a blood discovery service where you are able to upload your blood group and everyone of the same blood group, 10-kilometer vicinity, should get a notification and things of that sort, right? So the larger goal is to become a super app.
Right. Okay. So now if I haven't downloaded it, it's free to download. So what happens? I just leave it on every day and then as I walk, it'll calculate the amount of steps that I've taken.
That's correct. It's a free app. Download it. It counts your steps in the background. When you do have time, open it. See how you're faring against your family and friends. If you've had your family and friends there, you would have accumulated X amount of coins there, which you could use for redemption against products, vouchers, and services.
Right. Okay. So when was this launch, Have.life?
We launched in the first week of September last year.
Right. And this is a largely, and of course, where has the uptake been largely?
We only made the app available in three markets, which is India, Indonesia, and Singapore. And the reason that we opened it in Singapore was for investors to kind of have a look and feel at the product. So our core market is India and Indonesia at this point.
Right. Okay. And that should be enough. That's $1.3 billion for you.
Yeah, that is. But I think our ambitions aren't small. So we definitely are looking at other large markets like Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, obviously Malaysia, Thailand, Vietnam, including Africa, Nigeria, and so on. So
right. And how's the response been?
It couldn't have been better, really. I mean, I remember one of my co-founder, Lajesh, was saying that we probably should hit 100K downloads by the end of 2021. And I said, you know, it looks a bit okay-ish in terms of target, but we could do a lot better. Let's go aggressive. We ended the year with over 700K downloads. That wasn't something that we expected. We were the top 8th app in the Play Store in the health and fitness category, even way, way above Google Fit and Strava. I mean, couldn't have asked for more love.
Okay, okay. All right, because I'm currently using Strava, so maybe I'll do a switch. Okay. And okay, so what would you say would be different from what you have right now compared to other fitness apps, right? I mean, is the reward the main feature?
For now, it is the rewards, but there are elements of gamification which don't exist on other platforms.
Right.
So there are definitely challenges floated by other brands on a weekly basis, which give you access to bonuses, which give you access to real products. You also have the ability to kind of get personal insights. So let's assume you live in Penang, and then if there are other 10,000 people in the vicinity, it'll tell you that, you know, yesterday you walked the most amount of steps among 9,821 people in Penang, right? The next day, you would get some other data points saying that across all of Malaysia, you're part of the top 10% people who crossed 10,000 steps consistently for 21 days. So every day you will get personal insights, which you could then boast about on other social media platforms.
Oh, that's a big thing. We need to boast. We need to boast our achievements.
True.
So, okay. So you're saying that available in Indonesia, India, and Singapore, also available in Malaysia?
We should be opening up early next week in Malaysia.
All right. So Q1 of this year, right?
Now,
so you... And for you, how you have personally used it, I mean, from the whole idea of fitness, so no fitness experience at all?
No. So I keep saying that, you know, when people ask me who's the ideal user persona, you know, while I speak about age bracket, which is probably 16 to 24, somebody who earns $200 or less in a month, because that's when they get excited about you know, a smaller set of rewards because we can't be outlandish on those. However, it is someone who's never signed up for a gym or someone who signed up and never managed to cross 7 days. And I'm one of those. I have tried a trillion times to get into a gym. Every year, 1st of Jan, I try something else good happens in life. I tried an Apple Watch. Nothing has worked out for me.
Okay. So, all right. So this is it. All right. So we'll talk a little bit about you working with, participating with Scale Up Malaysia in just a moment. I'm here with Abdul Paravengal from Half.Live. Stay tuned. YFM 89.9.
Open for Business will reopen in a few moments. Powered by BossBully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
Building fit Malaysians. BFM 89.9.
Open for Business is powered by BossBully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
So Good morning. This is Rita Liu. You're listening to Open for Business. I'm here with Abdul Paravengal from Have.Live, and it is a platform that rewards steps to fitness, an app that can be found on the Google Play Store and fairly new in Malaysia. And Abdul here is based out of Indonesia. Now, when you started this, you, of course, you know, we're still going through this pandemic. What were the thoughts behind coming up with this app? It didn't matter? Or did you think the pandemic actually helped in a way?
There was two different perspectives. The first was the fact that the desire for people to look good, feel good, be good had accelerated, right? Mm. So we clearly knew that we didn't have to educate people, right? People already had the desire. The second component was because of restrictions, people couldn't probably get outside and walk as much as they wanted to, right? Even if we started rewarding them. So, you know, there was a time when restrictions had come in. What we said is, we know your geolocation because you probably spend 8 hours at least in the night at your home. If you continue to walk at the same geolocation during the daytime, you'll get 2x the reward. So we started rewarding indoor walking, right? So I think pandemic did play well, but there were definitely tweaks that we did have to bring in.
Right. Okay. And I guess, like, yes, I wanted to find out, like, out of Indonesia, you heard about Scale Up Malaysia. Why take part with Scale Up Malaysia?
The first thing was, Malaysia is a market that we did not have a lot of understanding about personally, as, you know, all of the co-founders, except the fact that one of the co-founders did his master's in Malaysia a few years back. And I do have a few cousins, but it's definitely a market that we did not have complete understanding of. So we wanted somebody who could help us, and couldn't have asked for a better team other than Scale Up Malaysia, because they come in with, it's a power-packed team, right? Second is the fact that we got access to Quest Ventures, who was a great investor to have on board, somebody who's backed early stage startups and become big thereafter. The third piece was definitely the way it was structured. The whole program was, you know, it wasn't like any other program. And the way it worked is, there were structured lessons and sessions, but they also deep dive into your business, one-on-one sessions, which kind of, it's more like a curated tweak that happens. So all of these is what helped us. And personally, for us as founders, we have always believed that we should be a company that operates out of markets which have not got enough representation, right? And we always felt that Malaysia had significant potential. Also for the fact that it is between Indonesia and India. You don't have direct flights between these two countries. The only way is to do it via Singapore and Malaysia. And connectivity from Malaysia was a lot better. So we said, why should we not centralize Malaysia? Great talent, great beauty. It really fits in to have a great office there, team. So we said, yeah, let's hop on to Scale Up trip.
Okay. And I guess, like, you know, what have been some of the aha moments, you know, like you were saying, the great mentorship as well, right? What have been some of the aha moments speaking to the mentors there?
I think a few things for us. The first is definitely the way that they were not very high level. They didn't speak at a 36,000 feet level, right? They started off from the basics. And it's good at times to start from basics, because considering that you probably have spent a lot of time across different industries, you start losing sense of the basics. So it's super important for someone to push you back and say, you know what, this is how it works. Right. I think that was the first thing. It gave a lot of time to kind of look back and see, okay, everything's good. The second component was definitely on how you position your story, right? When you're working with an accelerator of this sort, which has tons of companies working in different spaces, different backgrounds, they have the exposure. How do you position? How do you seek for opportunities, right? And opportunities was not only to work with other cohort companies, but also the fact on how do you kind of utilize their learnings to your business models, right? And they were very good at giving examples. I mean, I kind of tell that, like, I've seen a lot of startup conversations and so on, But Scale Up Malaysia does an extremely good job at picking one company to make the point of every message that they want to convey. And that's insightful. I had a lot of insights that I got from Scale Up of Southeast Asian startups that I never knew in the past. And that all looked interesting. So now we know why they did what they did. And now we can probably think of the same things.
I think what was very interesting about what you said about getting back to basics, right? Because you've worked in all these, although you've worked with startups and you've seen them grown, and sometimes we're already so broad, sometimes we have to come back, right? And it's good as well. I guess whatever steering or changes that you need to make while you're still fairly young. Actually, who are your co-founders and what background do they come from?
Right. So I do have two other co-founders. One of them studied in Malaysia, did a few gigs in Indonesia and UAE post that, after which he started a meal subscription startup based out of India. Mm. Unfortunate, he had to shut it down with COVID because he was catering to the corporate segment. And the way I got connected to him is he reached out for an investment when he was starting off. I chose not to invest, but we stayed in touch. Mm. After which he joined a fintech, which is called Open. It recently raised about $100 million from Google and Temasek, and he was the AVP leading one of their long-tail products. So he's the co-founder. He handles all things related to operations and partnership with brands. The other person is Sajit. He's a techie, hardcore techie. He's worked with Mindtree, one of the largest IT services firm, for 4 years, and thereafter with Yahoo as tech lead for 4 years. Mm-hmm. And then he spent a few years running his own services firm, helping early stage startups build out their app and platforms, after which he joined us. The other important person in the team is Samiksha. So Samiksha was my senior back 11 years back at university. She went on to work with EY, Bank of America, Shell, after which she went on to work with Oyo as the global head of growth and marketing, where we reconnected, and she's been helping us as the chief business officer.
Right. And you can see how that all fits in, all of you. The techie, we need the techie. And then, of course, you know, right. So it's interesting how you've done. And when you look at what's in store for 2022, what are the grand plans for 2022?
One is to get the product full stack. So, you know, we should be able to track sleep. We should be able to allow users to take a selfie, and it tells you your hydration level. For women, there should be a period tracking component. Why should you have a standalone app for it? Similarly, we should have the blood discovery platform inbuilt into it. Similarly, is the ambulance SOS sort of service plugged in, right? So the product should go full stack on the core preventive and emergency healthcare. But apart from that, we have already kind of tied up with a few large fintech companies to roll out co-branded debit card, which allows users to earn coins on every spend that they make and also have access to buy now, pay later limits. So the product should go full stack. Second is we should be operational across all markets of Southeast Asia. And from a downloads number, today we're at about 725K, but our aim is to do 30 million oddish by Q3, Q4, which is an ambitious number.
Right, very grand plans indeed. And I was just thinking as well, right, when you went to do, and it's a great idea that you started in Indonesia and India, in terms of infrastructure, right? I mean, it's great. But when you think of tying up a couple of things like with hospitals, or you are saying the 911 equivalent, right? You know, what are the considerations there? Because I'm just thinking of infrastructure. I've been to both of these countries and I know infrastructurally, it could be challenging.
It could be. I mean, that's one of the reasons why we always say that we will be a super app where we only control the demand. What we have realized is there's tons of startups in India solving for niche problems. You know, there's companies in the elective surgery space, there's companies in the chronic disease management, there's companies building Uber sort of models in the ambulance space. Now, we don't have to build all of those again from us, by us, right? What we intend to do is, so there is companies like StandPlus, HelpNow, which are in the ambulance service, but only operate in specific parts of the country. We bring all of them and put them into our app. Now, the user doesn't have to know who that is at the back end. You click SOS, depending on your geolocation, it goes to the most prominent player there. So that's how we will do it. So I think infra, while an issue, is if you're trying to re-engineer and rebuild it on your own, there are other people who have done a great job, collaborate, partner, and bring everyone together.
I'm looking forward to, you know, the grand plans that will happen, and definitely will download it. I've been speaking to Abdul Paravengal from Have.Live. You've been listening to Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Are you open for business? Register your company with BossBully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.